Welcome back. Today we're building one of the most important skills in rolling drum and bass, bassline bounce at 170 BPM, in a way that actually works in DJ-friendly sets. Here's the mindset. In a good roller, the bassline doesn't just sit there playing notes. It dances with the kick and snare. And at 170, the secret isn't more notes. The secret is placement, note length, and space. Where you don't play is what creates the bounce. By the end, you'll have a clean sub-layer, a mid-layer you can actually hear on small speakers, a 2-bar MIDI pattern that rolls, and a simple arrangement template, a clean intro, a drop, and an outro that DJs can mix without fighting your low end. Step 0, project setup so everything behaves. Set your tempo to 170 BPM. Keep it in 4/4. Make 3 MIDI tracks, one for drums, one for sub-bass, and one for mid-bass. The mid-bass is technically optional, but it's so useful that you'll probably keep it in every project from here on. On your master channel, drop a limiter just for safety while learning. Set the ceiling to -0.3 dB. Leave the rest at default. This isn't for loudness. This is just a seatbelt so you can focus on groove. Now, step 1. Give the bass something stable to bounce against. We're going to start with a classic 2-step roller drum foundation. You can drag in a clean 170 BPM drum loop if you want, but if you're learning, building it is better because you'll understand what the bass is responding to. On the drums track, load a drum rack, grab a kick, a snare, a closed hat, and maybe a ride or shaker. For a 1-bar pattern, put the kick on 1.1. Put the snare on 1.2 and 1.4. That's your anchor. Then add hats on 8th notes, or 16th notes if you lower their velocity. To make the hats feel alive without getting complicated, add the velocity MIDI effect on the hats. Give it a little randomness, somewhere around 10 to 18%. Set the output high so your hats don't get too loud, roughly in the 90 to 105 range. And here's the big teaching point. Keep the drum simple. The bass is going to provide the roll. Step 2. Pick a key and a DJ-friendly note set. Choose a key that's comfortable for subs. F minor, G minor, D minor all solid. We'll use F minor. Your safest sub notes in this zone are F1, G1, Ab1, and C2. And quick DJ-friendly tip. Don't do wild key changes every 8 bars if your goal is to blend in a set. Keep the drop harmonically stable so it layers well with other tracks. Step 3. Build the sub bass with stock devices. Clean and punchy. On the sub bass track, load operator. Keep it simple. Oscillator A only, sine wave. Amp envelope is where the bounce starts. Set attack to basically instant, somewhere between 0 and 5 milliseconds. Set decay around 300 to 600 milliseconds. Bring sustain all the way down, basically off. Release around 60 to 120 milliseconds. What you're building is a note-shaped sub, not an endless drone. That's a huge difference. This is what lets the groove breathe. After operator, add utility. Make the sub mono. Set width to 0%. If you have a bass mono option, turn it on too. Don't worry about final volume yet. Step 4. Program the bounce pattern. This is the core. Make a 2-bar MIDI clip on the sub track. Set your grid to 16th notes. Loop is 2 bars. We're aiming for a roller rhythm that's mostly F1 with tiny moments of movement. In bar 1, play short F1 hits on these points. 1.1.1, then 1.1.3, then 1.2.3 right after the snare, then 1.3.1 a little longer, then 1.3.3 short again, and 1.4.3 short. In bar 2, keep the same rhythm so it stays predictable, but change one note for movement. For example, on 2.3.1, swap that F1 for a quick Ab1, then go back to F1 on the next hit. Now the real bounce trick, note length. Make most notes between a 16th and an 8th note long, and intentionally leave tiny gaps, especially near the snare hits. Think of it like this. After each snare, the bass answers, but it doesn't sit on top of the snare. It replies and gets out of the way. Golden rule, if your bass overlaps the snare too much, the whole roller loses lift. Also, try this mental model, call and response. Kick and snare are the call. Your bass is the response. If you respond non-stop, it stops beating a conversation and turns into a wall. Step 5. Add swing the right way. Subtle, not sloppy. Drum and bass swing is usually smaller than beginners expect. It's not about dragging the whole bassline late. It's about micro-timing on select offbeats, plus note lengths and dynamics. Open the groove pool. Try a swing 16 groove, something like a 16-45 style. Apply it to the sub clip, but keep it gentle. Timing around 10 to 25%, random around 2 to 6%, velocity either off or very low. And a big coaching point here, keep the sub tight. Let your hats and shakers carry most of the swing. If you swing the sub too hard, the low end starts feeling like it's tripping over itself. If you prefer manual control, nudge only a few offbeat notes slightly late, by a few milliseconds. Never the downbeats. Downbeats are law. Step 6. Sidechain to the kick for clean punch. Put a compressor after utility on the sub track. Turn on sidechain and choose your drums as the input. If your drums are a full loop, be careful. The compressor might react to snare and hats too, which can cause weird pumping. A great trick, especially for clean results, is to use a dedicated ghost kick trigger. Make an auto track called a C trigger, place a short kick or click exactly where the kick hits, mute it or set it to sends only, and sidechain from that. Now your bass ducks consistently, no surprises. For compressor settings, aim for classic DNB behavior. Ratio around 4 to 1, attack around 3 to 10 milliseconds, release around 80 to 140 milliseconds. Lower the threshold until you see about 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction on kick hits. Listen for three things: the kick becomes clearer, the bass breathes in time, and the groove feels like it's leaning forward. If the bass ducks too long and feels like it disappears, shorten the release. If it clicks or sounds like it's coughing, raise the attack slightly or fix your trigger source. And remember, sidechain timing matters more than amount. A perfectly timed 3 dB duck often feels better than a messy 10 dB pump. Step 7. Add a mid-bass layer for presence, still DJ friendly. This is what makes the bass readable on laptops and phones without ruining the club sub. On the mid-bass track, load Waveatable. Pick a saw-like wave. Add a little unison, like 2 to 4 voices, but keep the amount low. Use a low-pass filter, 24 dB slope. Start the cutoff around 358C. Somewhere in the 200 to 600 range, and add just a touch of drive. Set the amp envelope similar to the sub vibe. Fast attack, decay around 200 to 400 ms. Sustain low to mid, release around 50 to 120 ms. Now copy the exact same MIDI clip from the sub to the mid track. We want the groove to match, not fight. Then process the mid with a simple chain. First, EQ 8. High pass it at least 120 to 180 Hz. If your mid is still messing with your sub, push that high pass up to 150 or even 200, and use a steeper slope. If it sounds boxy, do a small dip around 250 to 400. Next, saturator. Drive around 2 to 6 dB, with soft clip on. This adds harmonics, which equals audibility on small speakers. If you want width, you can add chorus ensemble very subtly, but keep it above the low mids. Then add utility and widen it a bit, like 120 to 160%, only because you already high passed it. Sidechain the mid too, but a little gentler, 2 to 4 dB of reduction, just so it breathes with the kick. Quick coach check for phase and overlap. Mute the mid layer. Does the low end get tighter or bigger? Good, that means your sub is doing its job. Now unmute the mid. If the low end suddenly feels weaker or weird, your mid has too much low content, or unison is causing phase issues. Tighten that high pass and reduce unison. You can also flip the polarity on the mid using utility's phase buttons. If flipping changes the low end a lot, that's a sign your crossover needs to be cleaner. Step 8. Lock the bass and drums together with pocket EQ. This is where you stop the kick and sub from arguing. On the sub, add EQ 8. If your kick is heavy around 55 to 65 Hz, try a tiny dip in the sub there, like 1 to 2 dB. But protect your fundamental. If you're on F1, you want that strong energy around 44 Hz. Don't carve the life out of it. On the drums, if your kick is too subby and blankets everything, trim a touch around 40 to 50 Hz, or choose a tighter kick. DJ-friendly low end is stable low end. It should translate and feel consistent, not like it changes every bar. Step 9. Make it DJ-friendly with a clean arrangement. Here's a template you can reuse forever. Intro, 64 bars. First 16 bars, drums and hats only. No bass. Let DJs blend. Bars 17 to 32. Tease a filtered mid-bass, high-passed, or a simple tone. Keep the sub out. Bars 33 to 48. Full drums plus a lighter bass rhythm. Still not full sub pressure. Bars 49 to 64. Build energy with snare rolls or a riser, but keep the sub minimal. Transitions should happen in the top end, not the sub. Drop. 64 bars. Bars 65 to 128. Full drums plus full bass. Keep it in 8 bar phrases and make tiny variations. Remove one bass hit every 8 bars. Add one passing note in bar 8. Or do a short one beat stop around bar 16 for impact. The point is, keep the sound stable. Vary the density. Outro, 64 bars. Reverse the intro. Pull the bass out first. Keep clean drums for mixing. And if you want to get extra pro, drop locators as mix markers. Intro start, bass tease, drop. Second phrase, outro. Make big changes land on 16 bar boundaries. DJs will love you for it, even if they never say it. A few extra coaching techniques that level up the feel without adding complexity. First, use clip envelopes to add motion without adding notes. In the MIDI clip, automate tiny changes like operator's level, just 2 to 5% dips on a couple hits, or automate the mid filter cutoff with a small wrap across two bars. That gives life while the rhythm stays simple. Second, if some sub notes feel uneven, add a glue compressor after the sub. Very gentle, ratio 2 to 1. Attack 10 to 30 ms, release on auto and only 1 to 2 dB of reduction. That's just to stabilize energy, not squash punch. Third, check your mix in mono sometimes. Put utility on the master and hit mono. If the drop loses power, your mid is too wide or too low, fix it by pushing the mid high pass up and keeping stereo information in the upper frequencies only. Now, common mistakes to avoid. If the bass feels heavy but not bouncy, your notes are probably too long. Shorten them to 16ths and 8ths and leave gaps before snares. If the track pumps in a messy way, your sidechain is probably getting triggered by more than the kick, or your release is too long. Use a ghost kick trigger and tune the release so the bass recovers before the next hit. If your sub doesn't slap in the club, it might not be mono. Quit that zero on the sub every time. If your mid layer makes the low end weak, it's stealing lows or causing phase issues. High pass it harder, reduce unison, and keep the sub clean. And if your drop feels repetitive, don't swap the whole bass sound every phrase. Keep the tone stable and just vary note density, note length, or mid-filter automation. Let's do a quick practice exercise you can finish in under 25 minutes. Make a two-bar sub-pattern using only F1 and one passing note, AB1. Create three versions. Version A, straight timing, short notes. Version B, add groove pull swing, timing around 15 to 20%. Version C, same as B, but remove one bass hit every two bars. Bass equals bounce. Then arrange a mini track. 16 bars of intro with drums only, 16 bars of intro with filtered mid, and 32 bars of drop with full bass. Export a quick test and listen on headphones, then on your phone speaker. This audio version is shortened for playback.